All right, let's jump into it. Find in your notes prayer, tapping into the real power for change. My name is Brad Bigney. Introduce myself, so thank you for coming out this weekend. Thank you for making time for this. This kind of material has changed my life. I grew up in the church. I was saved in a good Bible teaching church. But this piece of practical help at close range, whether you put it in the context of a small group, community group, or one-on-one counseling, whatever you want to call it, I call it real people helping other real people with problems using your Bible, is so often missing. Yet when you read the scriptures, it's not missing. It's right there. It's very important. The scriptures make it absolutely clear that preaching and teaching alone is not enough to see significant life change and growth for Christians. And that is why sometimes churches are the way they are. We are not perfect by any means. But I am thrilled, headed into year 25 now, of what we've seen God do that is not about brochures and buildings and bodies and bucks, but life change. Because we try to put in place a ministry structure that does not just have preaching and teaching, but has dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of believers helping each other at close range using their Bibles. Upstairs, I told you, my own story is I didn't get excited about biblical counseling by coming to a conference like this that you're sitting in. I got excited by being in biblical counseling, by needing biblical counseling. I met my wife in Bible college. She loves Jesus. I love Jesus. What could go wrong? Lots. I mean, she was a mess. No, we both were sinners, and that sin hit the fan right there in our mobile home year three. And she would say what she would say, and I would say what I would say, and she would say what she, and I would say it louder, and she would cry, and then we would retreat, and you couldn't go far because it's a mobile home. It's not like I could run to the man cave. There was no man cave. And we did this over and over and over until we finally said, let's get help. And we heard about a biblical counselor, and we went and met with him, and it was so life-changing. And I said, I'm almost done with my MDiv. I've paid thousands of dollars, and they haven't said a word about this kind of ministry of using your Bible to help someone at close range. And so I said, his name was Stuart Scott. I said, can I sit in and watch you do this? And so he got permission on Thursday nights for me to sit. Now, the church had given him a furnace closet because they said, we can't put you on staff. We can't pay for you. We have no office, but there's a furnace closet in the foyer. I'm not making this up. They said, you can use it. And so he stuck a ceiling fan in there to circulate the bad air. There was no heat and air ducts. And he put a dry board on the wall, and he shoved a desk in there, and he's doing biblical counseling. And so I started going on Thursday nights, and I watched him work with a bulimic woman and an angry man and a depressed man and a man that had hit his wife. And I'm pinched up against the furnace, and when it would come on, and it does, whoa, I couldn't even hear. But it was still good to just watch Stuart using the scriptures. And I said, oh my goodness, I want to know how to do this. And I was like 18 months away from, I'm saying, Lord, I think I want to plant a church. I think I want to go do something a little different. And so the timing of this help was wonderful, so that then when I came here to help this group of 35 adults, 80 once you threw in the kids, I said, I want us to be this kind of church from the very beginning. That there's not just a person that does this, and please let it not just be me, but allow me to equip everyone to know, how would you help a real person with a real problem using your Bible? And we've just been doing it now. From where it was just me in my basement with a deacon watching, an elder watching, a youth worker volunteer watching, to where now, by God's grace, we have a counseling center. We have about 80 people doing counseling. They're not all on staff, but they're involved. And then way beyond that, there's just so many people that just have this framework of thinking about changing and growing and how you would help someone. Because here's what I believe. Most Christians who even are so excited about the power of the gospel and salvation in Jesus still don't know how to change. They're stuck. And too often Christians just think the answer is, oh, you're getting angry? Here's a do not get angry verse. Memorize that. Now I'm angry and I feel guilty because I've memorized the do not get angry verse and I'm still getting angry. That doesn't help. unless you help someone get to the heart. Why? What are you wanting? Who's in your way? What do you think you're entitled to? What do you prize? What do you treasure? What do you worship? What do you defend? What are you building your world around? If we could find out that, anger is just a response to what you worship that you're not getting. Oh, then we can begin to see change. It was such a breakthrough for me, because in our own marriage, people would say, you got to date your wife. You got to treat her like you used to. And I would try for like 30 seconds. So I wasn't beating her. I was just neglecting her because I had moved on. I was the first youth and music guy with a full head of hair swept back. And I'm trying to start a youth program, start a music program. I am busy, busy, busy. I'm building the kingdom, baby. And I'm going hard. I needed someone to help me see my own heart that I couldn't see. Oh, I'm not doing all this for the glory of God. I'm doing a whole lot of it for the glory of Brad Bigney. I love being loved. If you go 80, 100 hours a week, will people love you? Yeah, there wasn't. Sorry, church people don't come and say, I'm worried about your marriage. Are you seeing your wife? No, they don't. They're like, come to my graduation. Come to the parking lot opening. Come, 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 come. We need you. So you're going to have the boldness to say no. And that was a new concept for me. And it changed our marriage. So I wrote about it in here. This is not just all marriage. This is about how do you change? How do you get to the heart and change? And some people have found it helpful if you choose to get it. There's online, if you go to bradbigney.com, there's a free study guide you can download. Use Sunday school or small group. There's sermons, videos, and audios. There's handouts. There's a lot of free good stuff that goes with it. All right, prayer. Oh, my goodness. I wish more Christians. Yes, I love my Bible. Yes, I got excited about how you can use your Bible to help real people with real problems. But guess what? You better equally get excited about prayer. 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 I think there's a huge weakness in the body of Christ, even among those who dive into helping people with real problems at close range, that you think if you just show up with your Bible and you read a verse to them and you bring it, they'll just drop to their knees. News alert, it doesn't always work that way. You better be praying. Oh God, meet with us. Oh God, help. Oh God, move. Before I counsel, before I preach, before I teach, before I came out here, I get on my knees. So I believe in prayer, you guys. And I say, oh God, apart from you, John 15, I can do. It's not my giftedness, it's not my personality, it's not wit, it's not humor, it's not anything. You have all power, I have nothing. That's how you have to go into every situation, but especially counseling. People are stuck. Most people who come for help, they do not come as soon as there's a bump in the road. You realize they usually wait so long until it's so bad. Oh my goodness, you better be praying. So more and more I'm convinced that there are only two categories of Christians who are trying to help other people. You're either desperate or you're deluded. You're either desperate or you're deluded in thinking that you can do more than you can. I mean desperate in the best way. I don't mean desperate in, but I mean, oh God, gotta have you. Oh God, you've got to meet with us. Oh God, show up in my kitchen as I talk to her. Oh God, show up at Panera Bread as I talk with him. Oh God, show up in our office as I meet with him. We must have the power and presence of God. We have nothing. You see, I believe it's human nature, and shows up all the time, to try to boil everything down to just a few principles. We love to systematize. Put me at the head of the list. I'm type A. My pencils and pens are parallel parked on my desk. Trust me, I'm the king of systemization. But God has had to just drive me to the ground to remind me ministry is just messy. And you cannot boil everything down to just a few principles so that now you've got a system and a checklist. We need the Spirit of God to go with us into what. You know, preaching, teaching is one thing. You prep your stuff and you go. Rarely does anyone yell out anything. I don't agree. But in counseling, it happens all the time. They talk. They talk back. They're like, I don't think so. I tried that. It doesn't work. It's like, ooh, this is different. It's like, You've got to be filled with the Spirit. You need the presence and power of God to say,